2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. And the Bible says, "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." But what a request. If you know anything about Elijah's life, and then Elisha asked for a double portion of what Elijah said, and here's what Elijah said in verse 10. And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. You can be seated this morning. As we're dealing with the catching away of Elijah and Elisha taking his place, I want to preach out of verse 14 where the Bible said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now, you got to understand some things about Elisha. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 19, after Elijah comes out of the cave, and God gives him some instructions to go do. One of those instructions was to go and anoint Elisha in his place. You can go to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 16. And so he does that. And Elisha, he leaves home and begins to follow Elijah around. And he becomes his minister. As a matter of fact, the Bible said he returned back from him, I'm talking about Elijah, and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. And the Bible explains it a little different. 2 Kings chapter 3, just one more chapter over, when Jehoshaphat is looking for a prophet, they said, "Well, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." And so he was his minister. And that word minister here means a chief servant. He was the one that seen to the needs of Elijah, and he traveled with him and helped him and took care of him until it was his time and that to take Elijah's place. And I always wondered when I read this passage of Scripture, everything that Elisha seen and everything that they talked about. As a matter of fact, if you go on down in the Scripture here that I read, it said, "And it came to pass as they still went on and talked." Reckon about all those times that they traveled together, what they talked about. I reckon Elijah told him about having to hide down by the brook Cherith and how the ravens brought him food. I reckon he talked about when he met Ahab out there and Obadiah, and Ahab said, "You're the one that troubles Israel." And he told Elisha, "But I told him he was the one that was troubling Israel." Maybe he told him about being on Mount Carmel and how God answered by fire and all these things. And you know, even after Elisha became Elijah's minister, he did get to see the power of God in Elijah's life. As a matter of fact, that was one of the times that God sent Elijah down to visit with King Ahab about taking Naboth's vineyard and killing him to get his vineyard. So no doubt Elisha seen all that, and he seen when the king of Israel, who was in Samaria, had sent for Elijah to come down, and Elijah called fire down from heaven twice to consume those men. Elisha was with him at that time. You can read on and you can see how that even here that Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it up, and smote Jordan, and Jordan parted, and Elijah and Elisha go over on dry ground. Now imagine being Elisha for just a minute. Imagine being him. The man of God comes by and casts his mantle on you and says, "You go with me." And he goes and he sees all these things that God is doing for Elijah. He sees the power that Elijah has. He sees the fear that Elijah does not have, or the lack of fear. I mean, to go down there and stand in Naboth's vineyard and condemn the king for what he done, that takes a lot of courage to go down there and do that. And boy, ain't you glad God can give us courage to go do things that we need to do. I begin to think about Elisha and when Elijah's gone. And he takes his mantle. I can imagine, because the Bible said he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. I can imagine as Elijah was being taken up by the horsemen and the chariots and that of heaven, that his mantle made it so far. And somewhere I imagine it in my mind, maybe it didn't happen this way, I don't know. But that mantle just drifted back down to the ground. And Elisha picks it up. And the Bible says over here that he took Elijah's mantle and he goes back to Jordan where they just crossed. And here's what he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he smotes the waters with that. And the Bible said that the water parted hither and thither. But notice what he cried out. He did not cry out, "Where is the God of heaven?" He did not cry out, "Where is the Lord God of Elisha?" He cried out and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I sat and I listened to stories of old timers and tell about how God has been faithful. I sat and I listened about what people say about God and how God's always been there and what God is able to do. And ain't you glad that you get to hear them stories? I mean, I'll be honest with you. Number one this morning, Elisha had seen and heard God's power in Elijah. I mean, as a matter of fact, he goes back and he cries out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" You know, when I leave out of here, I want folk to know. I preached on that just a week ago. I want folk to know who my Lord God is. Amen. When I leave out of here, listen, he had no doubt where Elijah's power come from because he takes that mantle, he wraps it up, smokes the waters of Jordan and cries out to the God of heaven. And I can imagine everything that Elisha had seen and experienced while he was with Elijah. Can I tell you today that me and you have this book in front of us that tells us what God is capable and able of. Now, I don't know what you need this morning. I know what I need. But listen, he said in Ephesians chapter 3, he said, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Do you realize that God is able to do more than you think he is? Do you realize that God is capable of doing more than what you can even think of? I mean, if you can think about it, God can do more than what me and you can ever think of. Amen. We don't know how God will work some things out. We don't know how God will move in certain situations. But we just know that God can and hopes that he will. Amen. Listen, we've got this book in front of us. Listen, it's just not only a storyteller, but friend, it's telling us the truth. Look, Philippians chapter 4 is still true in the Bible. When he said, "But my God shall supply all you need according to his riches in glory." Listen, he is still a supplier and a provider of our needs this morning. Amen. Well, I'm glad of that. Ain't you glad of that today, church? I mean that God still wants to take care of us. I was thinking about that scripture that Brother Jeff had read this morning. I'd read it this past week in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, where it talks about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, I'm glad Jesus don't change. I mean, what was it in the book of Malachi that he said, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." I'm glad. Hey, listen to me. I want you to hear me and hear me well this morning. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. Amen. And we think that the God of the Old Testament has been confined to the Old Testament and miracles and movings of God. Now, I believe standing in that book, but I still believe God can work in our life today if we'll let Him. Amen. And so here we are. Elisha's heard and he's seen. If we're not careful, we'll simply read the Bible and go on about our way and try to figure out how to do something in our strength. And let me say this morning. We do what we can, and when it is past what we can, that's where God works. What I mean by that, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but if you go on over in the next chapter, you'll find out that they needed water. And that is why Jehoshaphat was looking for a prophet. And that's why he finds Elisha. And Elisha, to make a long story short, said, "Go out there and dig some ditches." And said, "God will send water and fill them ditches." If they didn't go dig ditches, then there wouldn't be no water. Some of us don't get no water because we ain't going to dig no ditches. Amen. Y'all with me on this now? Are you awake this morning? Stay with me now. Listen, this is exciting. I've been excited about this all week. Listen, I'm glad God still wants to move in our life today. I'm glad the power of God is real today. But do we know it and what it's all about? And so we've got the scripture in front of us that we, if we would read it, we would know what God is, or that He's far more capable than what we even think. That's why the Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways." And God's got ways of doing things that mean you don't even know about today, church. But what scripture to us in the Old Testament were stories to the Israelites. Their moms and dads and grandparents and great-grandparents was just telling them the story about when they was down in the land of Egypt. How God sent Moses and delivered them. How they faced the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them. And they just stood still and seen the salvation of God. And God parted the Red Sea. I don't believe that, preacher. That's fine. You don't have to believe the Bible. You'll mess up if you don't believe the Bible, but you don't have to. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible when it said that Moses held his hand out with the rod in it, that God caused an east wind to blow all night and parted the river and they went by on dry ground. That's what happened. You say, "Well, they went through on ankle deep water then." Bless God, you tell me how he drowned all them Egyptians in ankle deep water then. Amen. You tell me that then. I just want to know. I mean, I just believe the Bible. I'm like Brother Sam Jones. If it said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. Amen. So how would he swallow it? One bite at a time, I guess. We miss the power of God simply because we don't believe God sometimes. We don't believe the Bible. We don't place faith in Him and just trust what that book says. I know about rightly dividing Scripture. I understand that. I know promises was given to Israel that was not given to the church, and promises to the church that was not given to Israel. I understand all that. I know how to rightly divide the Scripture, but I do believe that book, and I believe God wants us to know about Him today. I believe God wants you to know about His beloved Son that loved you and died for you and would save you if you're lost today. I most definitely know He wants you to know about Him. But boy, when you get to know Him, listen, they heard those stories about how God parted the Red Sea. And then they didn't travel too far, and they ended up on bitter water. And God said, "There's a tree, cut it down, cast it in the water, and it'll make that bitter water sweet." Well, sometimes if you just look at the tree, it'll make life sweet. They heard the stories of how God kept them when they were in the wilderness, that He fed them with manna and with quail, that their shoes grew on their feet and their clothes did not wear out, that there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead them. And then they got into the promised land, or headed to the promised land, and God parted the same Jordan River that He parted here for Elijah and Elisha. And they've heard all these stories down through time. And you know, I love to sit and I listen to stories that old timers tell, Brother Marvin. I've been listening to Brother Ed Ballou these past week, and Brother Ed, he pastored for years, and he was a full-time evangelist. As a matter of fact, he was the one that started Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. If I understand right, Sister Pauline started it in their closet. Had a little tape machine in there, and that's how they started Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. And he told a story as I listened to him preach this past week, and he told a story about going to preach. And he said, I stepped out on the front porch and got ready to go. And he said, Miss Blue met me out there on the front porch and said, Ed, said, I want you to know all we've got in here is a few harsh potatoes and some 3-minute oatmeal. Said, we might want to pray about that. He said, okay. He said, so I went on out there to get in the car, and he looked at the tires on the car, and he said, I could see the air in the tires on the car. He said, so I decided I'd better not drive that thing. So he said, I walked on out there to 411 Highway and started walking and stuck my thumb out and hitched a ride, and he said, I called a ride going down to the church, and he said, I witnessed that fella all the way down there. He said, I got down there and preached, and he said, I was supposed to stay all night. And he said, but the Holy Spirit just nudged on my heart and said, won't you go back home? He said, so I walked back out there 411 Highway, stuck my thumb back out, hitched the ride all the way back home. Now, some of y'all don't know nothing about hitching rides. Some of you do. I wouldn't pick up a hitchhiker for nothing now. But I mean, back in the day, you done it. I mean, I've got a few rides here and yonder, you know, and picked a few people up. But it's been in distress that I've done those things. But he said, I witnessed that fella all the way home and said, stopped and said, Miss Blue said she heard the car stop out there. And he said, I got out and said, she's running out in the yard, hollering and shouting and carrying on. He said, you ought to understand something. My wife don't get emotional. And he said, I thought she was cracking up, Brother Marvin. And he said, she got to hollering and shouting and said, got her calmed down, and she's pointing at the car and said, there was 4 new tires on the car. He says, well, that's good. She's went and stole some tires somewhere. And he says, we went in the house and said, everywhere there was just boxes of food. And he said, everywhere you look, there was food sitting everywhere. And he said, and back then, he said, I only wore cotton khaki pants and a white shirt. And he said, there laid about 4 or 5 breeches and 4 or 5 shirts laying there that God had made. And he said, what happened was before I went to get in that car to hitch a ride, he said, I snuck off up in the woods and talked to the Lord about it. Don't that make you want to sneak off up in the woods and talk to the Lord about a few things? It does me. That's just one of the stories he tells. Now, I'm not here to tell all his stories by no means, but I mean, just to hear that and to know that God will take care of His people. It would do your children good, moms and dads, to watch you pray and then watch God move in your family. It would do good, moms and dads, if you would just tell your children, once God's done it, hey, listen, me and your mom prayed about this, and here's what God done. They need to hear that.
They need to know God's real. They need to know that He'll move in a time of trouble and in a time of distress. Listen, they need to know that there's one in heaven that they can call on and talk to. They need to know that. So Elisha, as they talked, he's heard and seen what Elijah was capable of with the Lord's help. But then there was a desire in Elisha's life. And he said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He's saying, I want the power of God, Elijah, more than you had it. He said, I want double what you had. Now we know that when the Lord talked about John the Baptist coming, He talked about him coming in the power of Elijah. And He uses Elijah as one that has great power. And we understand that. But Elisha says, I want double what you got. Y'all with me today? All right. Just making sure here. Listen, let me ask you something. How many of us want the power of God in our life? Now, I was going to tell you, that's a loaded question. Of course, I think most of us, if not all of us, needs and wants the power of God in our life. Listen, Paul talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he says, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power." You know, when I stand up to preach, I want God to come by and help. I want God to help me, and I want Him to help you. Listen, when I get down to pray, I want God to hear me and move because I talk to Him. That's the kind of power I want with God. But Elisha said, let a double portion of thy spirit fall upon me, be upon me. As I began to consider that, I thought about Elisha's life. We go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. And you know what the Bible said in 1 Kings 19? When it talks about Elisha, as Elijah threw that mantle upon him, Bible said, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. You know, if you want the power of God in your life, then we're going to have to get busy, ain't we? I mean, when Elijah found Elisha, he was working, wasn't he? You ain't going to find the power of God without beginning to work for Him. And as a matter of fact, when it goes on down through here, he left his oxen yoke and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done unto thee? He said, just go back home and do it then. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Listen, you know what he done? First of all, he was already working. God calls people that's working. He calls people that's going to be faithful. And you know, the Apostle Paul talks about God counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. God knows what we're going to do. God knows what we're capable of. But here you find that, look what he done. He left all right here to serve the Lord. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm not even telling you to leave home. But what I'm asking you is, there's some things that you need to turn loose of to be able to serve God and have the power of God in your life. I've had to let go of some things over the years and that to see God move and work in my life. There's some habits I had to get rid of. Some of you are going to have to let go of some bitterness and some grudges before God's going to work in your life. Some of you are going to have to let go of some unhappiness. You ever just around folks just unhappy all the time? I mean, they're just unhappy. Why are you unhappy? Why are you unhappy today? Why are you unhappy? I think God's people ought to be happy. I know there's a time for sorrow. I know what Ecclesiastes 3 says, that there's a time for all. I understand that. But I'm talking about these folk that every time you see them has got a scowl on their face and got something bad to say. I don't like them people, and I don't like being around them. I'll just be honest with you. They'll drag you down, won't they? You ever get around? Let me park right here for just a second. You know, if you ain't careful, you'll get around them people, and the next thing you know, you're getting to be just like them. You're getting to be just like them. You get around folk that complain about your boss is on the job, and the next thing you know, you're complaining about your boss is on the job. Or somebody's complaining about somebody on the job site. What kind of look was that, Brother Jeff? And so you get around somebody. He's looking at Beverly there. I ain't sure what all that's about. Somebody will complain about somebody working on your line or somebody that you work with. Next thing you know, you're complaining about them. Don't be that way. Elisha gave up. He gave up home. He gave up that work. Was it Brother Dennis, Brother Jeff, that the Lord burned his tractor sitting in the field? Wasn't going to go Florida to pastor that church, and God just burned his tractor right there in the field. If I've got that story right. If I got that right. Burned his tractor right there in the field. Now, God's got a way of getting our attention sometimes. God's got a way of doing it. He knows how. And so there's sometimes, listen, if we want the power of God in our life, we have to give up us so that we can trust and follow Him today. Elisha's at home. Elisha's serving at home and working at home, but he takes those yoke of oxen. As a matter of fact, I believe he kills at least one of them. And the Bible said right here, and boiled them, their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people. He served the people, didn't he? You know, and if you're going to have the power of God in your life, it ain't going to be about you, but it's going to be about somebody else. Is that not what, over in Isaiah chapter 6, when the Lord said, whom shall I send and who shall go for me? And Elijah said, here am I, send me. Or Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You remember what the very first part of that thing Scripture said? Said he saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, and his train and the smoke filled temple and all that, and it shook. And you know, he seen the Lord first, didn't he? And you know, then it said he seen himself, didn't it? Because he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. He seen himself. You know, you begin to see God, you'll begin to see yourself. But then the Lord told him to go unto these people. When you see the Lord and you see you for who you really are and you get things fixed with the Lord, you'll see people then and see their need. I'm talking about how to get the power of God. Elisha gave up what he had to be able to go serve God. I'm not telling you God wants you to give up your home. I'm not telling you God wants you to... He might want to move you around the world and back. I don't know what God wants out of you. But sometimes we hold on to things so tight. I remember what Adrian Rogers said one time as he was teaching young men to go pastor. He said, you don't need to hold on to the church so tight that God will hurt you to get it away from you. Some people makes a feather bed, and I've always tried to be very careful about that. If God wants me to go somewhere, I remember what Brother Ralph told me one time. He said, if God wants me to pick up my family and move them halfway around the world, I will, but I don't think that's what God wants right now. And I'm with Him. I understand that. But that's the kind of heart that every one of us needs to have. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to do it at. I believe you want me to do it right here, Lord, and so that's why I'm going to be here. But if you want me to do something else, let me know. But I'm going to do what you've told me to do. I'm a firm believer in this. I know God makes preachers and preachers' wives out of men and ladies and missionaries' wives out of men and ladies. I understand that. I know all that. But if He made missionaries out of all of us to travel halfway around the world and back, then who's going to be able to minister right here in Athens, Tennessee?
You follow what I'm saying? If you're going to see God move, then not only are you going to have to be willing to serve, but then you're going to have to serve and depend on God living by faith. That power with God, you've got to live by faith. That is a scary situation to live by faith. I'm not saying don't go to work, make a paycheck. That ain't what I'm saying. I think some of these boys, men, I'm not saying sit at the house and say, well, God will provide. He provides when we can't. When we can, He expects us to. Amen. Y'all with me on that? All right, just making sure here now. We're doing okay, ain't we? All right, okay. But living by faith means we put our hope and our faith in the Lord that He'll move and do what we cannot do. All I can do is stand up here and preach what God has gave me, but then He has to do the work. I have to be faithful to preach. I have to be faithful to study. I have to be faithful to pray. Listen, if you want to see God move, you better learn to pray. God ain't never moved in anybody's life that don't know how to pray that much. I'll be honest with you. You want to see the power of God? You want to see the power of God move in this church? We need to learn how to pray. You want to see God work? Pray. Well, we're too busy to pray. You know, most, I'm the same way. And y'all have heard me say this a lot over the years, that I'm guilty of giving a 10-cent prayer and wanting $1 million answer. I mean, we need to crawl off, as Brother Blue talked about, crawl off up in the woods and just begin to talk to God. To spend some time alone with God. Spend some time alone with Him in prayer and in this book and just say, Lord, what do You want out of my life? Can I tell you that Elisha simply asked for it, didn't he? Elijah said, what can I do for you? And Elisha said, I'd like a double portion of what you've got. Do we even consider and think about the power of God in our life? You ever get around people that you can just see God all over them? I mean, it's like He's dripping off of them. I've been in meetings and been around, and I'm just talking about people. Don't have to be preachers. It don't have to be. I mean, you get around people that you can just tell they've been in the Word of God. They've been in their prayer closet, and I mean, God's just all around them. You know, if you want the power of God in your life, I'm going to tell you, it comes with hardness, and not hardness of heart. But it comes with hard things in our life. Hard times sometimes. You remember Sister Blue stood out there on the front porch and said, Brother Ed said, we got a few arse potatoes and some 3-minute oatmeal. I ain't never seen a day when my cupboard was that bare. I've never seen the day when it's like that. I've never seen the day when I couldn't go to the grocery store and buy groceries. I've not. Now some of y'all might have. Some of y'all might have been that poor and know what I'm talking about. I've never been that poor in my life. But that don't mean that I ain't seen some hard things and faced some hard times. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. What was he talking about? The messenger of Satan had come to buffet him, remember? And he besought the Lord 3 times that it might go away. And here's what God said. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's in hardness that we find the power of Christ in our life. It's in hard times that God makes Himself known and makes Himself real. You know, it is in hard times that we find out what you're made out of. It's in hard times that you find out what you're made out of.
You don't think folk know what's going on in your life sometimes? Sometimes they don't, but sometimes they do. They know that you're going through trials and problems, and going through tribulations. And sometimes, boy, you think you're going through the great tribulation, don't you? And boy, I tell you, when I go through hard times, one, I want God to be there. I want God to help. I want His grace that He promised to be sufficient. I want it to be there. I want to make it through it. But I want to make it through it so that His power might rest in my life. To see God move and to work. We find out, God already knows what we're made out of. When folk look at my life and they know hard times is there, I want you to see me make it through it. As I studied this, I thought of a preacher that me and my wife knows. He got some kind of incurable disease. And it was a word about that long that I could not say. And it seems like he got, I was already pastoring at that time. Let me put it like that. Pastoring here. And this has been 18 years ago now. And I remember that when he got that disease, that as time went on with that thing, he started slipping. A little out of church here and a lot of church. And some of it was because of his sickness. I understand that. When you're sick and you don't feel good, you know that there's going to come a day that unless God blesses you real, real good, there'll come a day that you probably won't be able to take care of yourself. I see that over at the nursing home, don't we, Sister Margie? You see it over there all the time. Folks in there because they can't take care of themselves. We've been to the nursing home and had service with them before COVID broke out and all that mess. And we've watched them. We've seen them. They're not able to take care of themselves. And so there's going to come a day when you're probably not going to be able to come to church. That's why you need to come now while you can. Amen. Because there's going to come a day when you can't. And somebody's going to have to take care of you. So when we're not able to take care of ourselves, and we're not able to come, one, we need to be able to think back to what God's done for us in the good times. We need those memories. But getting back to my preacher friend, I watched him, and I understand that when disease afflicts us, we're not going to be able to do the same thing that we once could. But I watched him quit God with all that. There was some other stuff that took place in the background, but I watched him quit God. I watched his wife get out of church with him and quit God. Boy, I sure don't want that. So Elisha, goes back and he smites the waters of Jordan and he says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He wanted the power of God that was in Elijah's life. There comes a time in our life that it's no longer where is the God of Elijah. But where is the God of Elisha? Where is the Lord God of Mark? I listened to Brother Blue and I listened to Brother Blue and Brother Cape again. I've listened to them men talk over the years. They put them men together on a stage in a church and just let them have the service and just let them talk about pastoring and preaching. Well, you're talking about some stories that come out of that. But I'm not calling on the God of Brother Cape or the God of, Brother Blunt. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm calling on the God of Brother Latham, the one that I know, and the one that I've served, and the one that I've seen move in my life. He's made a difference in my life. How about yours? You know, there come a day that Elisha had to see God move for himself. Now you can live on Mamaw's and Papaw's stories all you want to, but I need God to do something for me. Now, I love to hear Mamaw's and Papaw's story. Don't you misunderstand me. And I'm glad God moved for them. And I love to sit and listen to them old timers talk. But I need to see God move for me. I need Him real in my life. Not real in Mamaw and Papaw's life. Not real in Mom and Daddy's life. I need Him real in my life. There's times we need to hear them stories. But there's times that we need God to be in a personal relationship with us. I'd say that all the time. You know, if you read the scripture, I believe Elisha done twice as many miracles as Elijah did. He parted Jordan. You read on in scripture in 2 Kings chapter 2, the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that he healed the waters that was bad. When they needed water supplied, he told them to dig ditches and God would fill it up with water. When the widow, when her sons was being taken by the creditors, he said, go collect as many vessels as you can and start pouring oil into them. You know, God just kept letting oil pour in. He said, go sell them and pay the creditors and then keep the rest to live on. There was death in the pot when the prophets had put something in the pot that wasn't supposed to be there to eat while they were seething pottage. And he said, there's death in the pot, and Elisha, took care of that. 2 Kings chapter 4, he multiplied loaves just like the Lord Jesus did and fed all that sat there. In 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman who had made him a prophet's chamber and had a little boy, that little boy died, and Elisha raised him from the dead. 2 Kings chapter 5, he healed Naaman from leprosy, sent him down to the Jordan River. In the same chapter, Gehazi, his servant, was struck with leprosy that he put on him because he lied. 2 Kings chapter 6, he caused the axe head of iron to swim in the water. 2 Kings chapter 6, he smote the Syrian army with blindness. And in 2 Kings chapter 13, even after he was dead, you don't talk about the power of God in a man's life. They throw the dead man in the same tomb that Elisha was in. That dead man hid his bones and he stood straight up. It was no longer the God of Elijah, but the God of Elisha. Don't you want to see God move in your life? I like watching Him move in other folks' lives. I do. I love to watch it because I know He's real. And I know He's capable of moving in your life. I know that. But I want to watch Him move in my life. I want to see Him work in my life and do something for me when I need something done that is beyond what I can do. That's the reason. Listen, I don't serve Him for what He's going to do. I serve Him because of what He did. I mean, He saved me. I was unworthy and unjust. I'm still unworthy to be saved. But I'm justified in Him today. That's why I serve Him today. But the power of God in your life, you're not going to make a difference in your family until the power of God rests in your life. You're not going to win folk on the job until the power of God rests in your life. You're not going to do anything for God until the power of God rests in your life. That's what it's going to take. Make a difference. Get the power of God, but we're going to have to sell out to Him. Listen, Elisha sold out, gave everything to the Lord and went and served like he was supposed to serve. And until we do that, the power of God will never rest in our life. Let's bow our heads this morning.